You guys don't mind, but we're going to just kind of just step right into the message this morning because it's so, well, it's important. And that's not to say that every day, every Sunday we get together for a message, it's not important or any other time, but this one today we get together to celebrate and remember Easter specifically. So we're going to step right into it. If you would take out your Bibles or your favorite app devices, and I want you to turn to the book of Isaiah, please. In the book of Isaiah, I would like you to turn to chapter 53. Okay, 53, let's run down and let's go to verse 4 where it starts speaking. It says, "Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishments that were brought us to peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed." I want you to look at that passage. I want you to go back up to verse 4. Where it says, "Surely he took up our pain and he bore our suffering. He was stricken by him and afflicted, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities." The punishment that brought us peace was on him. This is a time of, well, it's actually a time of celebration, right? It's not a time of mourning. It's not a time of feeling sad. It's not a time of looking at. Even though I went back there and I said he bore all these things for us, it was our reason that he did this, that he went through this entire time. It'd make you almost sad when you read that. But it's not a sad event. It's something that's truly joyful, something to really celebrate every day of your life, right? Can I get an amen on that? To celebrate that every day of your life. We would celebrate that because that is. It's a time of birth. It's a time of birth. He was reborn. He was came back. But it also signifies a time of our rebirth. Of when we give our lives to Jesus, that we are born anew, correct? That we are born over again with a new body, a new mind, a new heart, dedicated to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's a time of celebration. It's not like Good Friday where we got together and we sat here in the dark and we read the dramatic story of everything that happened, remembering all those things from the time of his triumphant entry into Jerusalem to the time where the crowds all of a sudden became hostile to him to the point where he went to the cross for us. That's a time of mourning. That's a time of being sad, of reflecting in what actually he was doing for us. That's a time to really think about how bad we were that he had to endure that. Today is not that day. Today is a time to truly, truly hear and celebrate Lord Jesus Christ. We heard what Jesus submitted to on Friday, right? We heard what he went through with the whippings. We heard what he went through with the bashings, people spitting at him, people hitting him. We heard the jeering that happened, you know, at that particular time. We could hear the nails being driven into his hands and his feet. And we did that. We heard that Jesus did something so specifically unique to him on that day that he did it voluntarily. I can't say that I would do that. I can't say that I'd be able to take that. I look at people around here and they ask me, would you be able to, willing to give up your life to them that they would be saved? I look around sometimes and I thought about that. It's like, well, my friends, my family. It's like, certainly, not a problem. I would give up my salvation for my friends and family if it meant that they would go to heaven. And then you think about a total stranger. Would you give up your salvation for a total stranger? Think about that. Would you voluntarily give up your salvation so that a stranger, somebody you didn't know anything about, would go to heaven? Even if they looked like somebody that was homeless on the street, would you do it? Well, if you're honest with yourself, you'd probably say, I'm not sure. But Jesus did that. Jesus did that. He gave up his life voluntarily so complete strangers would have access to our Heavenly Father. And what did he do? He gave up his life. But more than that, he gave up his connection. He gave up his connection with heaven. That spirit-filled connection. He gave that up. He relinquished it at that time. And the connection is actually the key. The connection's the key here, folks. A lot of times we could go through immense pain and give up things, but sometimes there's part of it that we really truly can't give up. And in this happenstance, it's Jesus' connection with his Heavenly Father that he gave up. That separation, this is the price we were to actually pay for our sins, was the separation of our spirit from our Heavenly Father. Not just the fact that we couldn't be in his physical presence because, well, you know, we're not really truly in his physical presence right now. But you have a spiritual connection to our Heavenly Father, right? Jesus gave that up. Jesus laid that down. He laid it down for me. He laid it down for you. He laid it down for everyone. And that's what hurts so much. That's what hurts so much for Jesus, for him to do that. Is that separation. Think about what he did, folks. He came down from heaven. He was physically with the Heavenly Father, physically there. In spirit and his physicality, he came down here physically in that particular separation to be part of the world, to be part of the earth. But at the end of everything, he gave it all up. He gave it all up. He gave up something so we wouldn't have to. So we wouldn't have to be part of that. We concentrate on hell so much. We concentrate on the word hell and what it actually means. And what hell actually means is actually it means that you're separated spiritually from the Father forever. Forever begin. That's a long time, folks. That's giving up your connection to your Heavenly Father. And yeah, we have bad days here on the earth every once in a while. And we feel like that we're not really connected with the Father sometimes. But your connection has not been severed. It's still available. It's still there. But when Jesus died, that connection was not available. That's the price he paid. That's what he gave up. Jesus was separated. I'm going to have him throw up Isaiah 53, verse 4, where it says that he bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. He bore our suffering, saying that he was separated from God the Father spiritually to bear our suffering, to bear our punishment, to bear our iniquities. And so much of that was part of that where he spoke out and he knew that he was separated. In fact, when he hung on the cross, he yelled out, "Why have you forsaken me? Why have you forsaken me?" See, he couldn't feel his Father with him. He couldn't feel the warmth of his touch. He couldn't feel the warmth of his heart. He couldn't feel the warmth of that connection. He couldn't feel the warmth in his spirit. The coldness that was there is something that he had never, ever experienced before, of being apart from his Father, apart from somebody that he loved so much. The crying out of these words echoes through time itself. Echoes through time. Because this is what Jesus actually died for. He died for us so that we would not have to endure this punishment. This punishment of being separated. I know I love my wife very much. Anybody that knows me knows I love my wife very much. I couldn't imagine being separated from my wife. I couldn't imagine. For some of you that have experienced that loss, you know exactly what it feels like. But the infinitesimal connection that Jesus has with the Heavenly Father is much beyond that. and he was separated. And that's something that we never, ever have to endure. We don't have to be there because he paid that price. And how long was Jesus separated? Well, you know what? Hey, it's 3 days. 3 days, no big deal, right? I mean, we can go without eating for 3 days and drinking water for 3 days, no big deal, right? Yeah, well, it's a big deal sometimes. But 3 days we can make it. So it's like, well, Jesus didn't have to suffer very long, but he did. Because to Jesus, it was a lifetime. 3 days was a lifetime for him because he had never experienced it before. He knew he had to do this. He knew that his father wanted him to do this, but I don't know if he truly knew the ramifications. You know what? He's Jesus. He probably did, right? But I can tell you for certain that I truly don't know the ramifications. I don't. We speak about a lot of times about how we're so ready for things that we got a bunch of stuff, but sometimes we just don't understand the ramifications of our actions and the ramifications of not having Jesus in our life and that what that would look like for us in the end. I don't even want to think about that nowadays. That's not something that I wish to experience. But Jesus did that for us. It was a lifetime, and it started in the garden. It started that night in the garden. He went to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he was sitting there, and he was praying, and he was down on his knees, and he was just praying to the Lord and God, and he was in such anguish that his spirit was in agony at that time. Luke 22:44 talks like this, and being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly. He prayed more earnestly than he had ever done before. That sweat was dropping from his body. You ever been at a point in time when you're so nervous or something's going on that you just begin to sweat profusely? I'm not talking about being hot. I'm talking about just being cold. On a cold winter's day, you can be 20 below, and if your body is working up so much, your body will just sweat. You ever been there? You ever experienced that? Let's take it one step further, where he experienced so much of that he was actually sweating like drops of blood falling on the ground. He was in such agony and anguish because he was no longer connected to the one that he loved so much in life and was always a part of him, the one who had sent him down here for us. He was separated at that time. And he was separated because he had to do something for us. And we need to make sure we never forget the fact that he did this for us. That God made him who had no sin to be our sin. Paul said that in his second letter to the Corinthian church, where he said, God made him who had no sin to be our sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God. That Jesus had to take up a mantle of something that he had no burden, that he had never done anything in his life to accrue that type of punishment, to deserve it. But he took up that mantle because of his love for us, because he truly believed in the plan that his Father had for us. And that sin that separated him from the Holy Spirit, that broke a connection. And not only was he broken from the Father, something else happened during that time. Everyone deserted him. Everyone deserted him. That night in the garden as he prayed, as Judas and the soldiers came and they were going to arrest him, he had his closest friends around him. He took Peter, James, and John with him to the special spot, but the other ones were there. They were in the garden. They were back here, probably sleeping also. But when the time came, all of his friends, all of his disciples, all of his acquaintances, all of them disappeared. They ran. They were gone. He was there alone. Nobody around him. Nobody there to support him when he was feeling sad. Nobody there to support him, perhaps when he was injured. Well, we know he got injured. In fact, even the rock himself took off. I'm not talking about Dwayne Johnson. I'm talking about Peter. Peter took off. happened with Peter was even worse, where Peter denied him three times, even after boasting that he would not. The sons of thunder took off like a couple chickens, leaving Jesus alone by himself. He was so alone that a stranger had to carry the cross for him. The Roman guards picked out a man along the street and said, "Hey, you need to carry this." Somebody Jesus didn't have around him, wasn't in his circle, wasn't part of the, you know, the plan of apostles. This was a total stranger. And the stranger was made to carry the cross behind him. As he walked that distance, wounded, bleeding, suffering, weak, so weak that he couldn't carry it himself. He did that. But in the end, God's punishment was satisfied, wasn't it? Hallelujah. Hallelujah for that. His punishment was satiated. He was full. Jesus was up on the cross and he declared to everybody that, you know, it is finished. It's done. It's over with. The price has been paid. And he bowed his head. And that was it. He gave up his spirit. But what happened after that? Well, he's laid in the tomb. But who was he laid in the tomb by? Strangers. Joseph of Arimathea, who was a convert. And Nicodemus came by, brought all the myrrh and spices and stuff and the linen. They wrapped him up. It wasn't his inner circle. It wasn't the disciples. It even wasn't the ladies that had been with him. It was strangers that laid him in a tomb. His friends were not there. He was still separated. He was still paying that price. But you know what happened after that? The separation ended. The curtain was torn in two. Earthquakes happened. Rocks broke open. People came out from the dead and walked among them. What a glorious thing that happened. And we need to remember, even though that this beginning of this message is somewhat solemn, it's not a solemn message. It's a glorious message. It's a message of life. It's a message of rebirth. It's a message of your eternal existence connected with the Father God Almighty. That's what it's about. And yes, he went through all those things because I couldn't do that. I couldn't pay that price. But he paid that price willingly so I could be a part of his kingdom, a part of the love of the Father, and that one day I would not only feel him spiritually like I do now, but I would see him in his glory standing there, that I would fall down at his feet. I would feel the warmth of his love and his presence around me, and I would know truly that I was blessed among many more than I deserved. Jesus did that for us. That we can be a part of his plan, of his story, of being in that. And he didn't just do that for just anybody. He did it for everybody. And he showed up around his disciples. He showed up around people. He showed up around 500 people. For 40 days he spent time on the earth going through and showing people and explaining to them what he had just done. And it took off from there. Believing in Jesus and believing in his church and believing in the plan of the Father just exploded from there. Because they got to see the glory of what happened. Just as we actually can see the glory of what happened. We can see it when we pray, when we let the Holy Spirit in. We can actually see those things inside of us. It may not be with our physical eyes, but we see them with the eyes of our heart and the eyes of our spirit. And we know that this happened, and it happened for a reason, so we could be next to him in his glory, and he would stand next to us and say, "Father, let this person in because they believe in me. I paid for their sin. I paid the price for that. To be a part of you." And the only thing we have to do, folks, is believe in it. That's the only thing you got to do. I believe that's a small price compared to what he paid. that we believe in Jesus and we believe in what he has done for us and what to be a part of in life. This is a gift given to us. This is a price paid for you. That's like free grab bag stuff at Walmart. You go in, you just take the bag, you fill it up as much, and you just stay out the door. That's unheard of, right? That's never going to happen. But this happened. This is free for you. All you have to do is believe. Give your life over to Jesus. All of a sudden, you now know what's going to happen. You know where you're going to be. You can feel the lump, love and the warmth inside of you. You can feel joy, peace, contentment. And yeah, it doesn't mean that, you know, we have everything the way we want, because that doesn't happen. We know this. But it's a better life. I didn't say perfect life. I said a better life. It's better than anything that we can have without him. And that's what it's truly about. It's about being with Jesus. It's about the greatest gift in history and of time, in the universe. It's about that gifting. I want you to take a look at verse Isaiah 53. If you would turn to, in your apps, in your Bibles, whatever, I want you to turn to Isaiah 53, verse 4 again. I want you to cement this into your mind, into your heart, that he took up our pain. He bore our suffering. We considered him punished by God, stricken by God. We considered him afflicted by God. But ask yourself, who is he truly afflicted by? Who is he stricken by? Who actually punished him? I think it's because of us he did those things. So I would almost tell you that we punished him. He was stricken by us. He was afflicted by us. But he did it gladly. He did it voluntarily so that we could truly have life in him. For what we do in life, he was punished. For how we act sometimes, he was punished. So that we would not be punished. So that we would not ever lose connection. But that's the love of our Savior. That's what he does. That's what he did. And he continues to do that every day of your life, past, present, and future. He continues to be there for us, to show us his love, to say, hey, I've done this. And that's why we have the grace of our Heavenly Father, because of the Son. He's part of that process, folks. He's all of that process. And because he paid that price, because we believe in him, we can feel assured that we are never separated. Even though sometimes that you may want to be separated, you are never separated as long as you believe in Jesus. You can have that every moment of every day of your life. Never have to feel the emptiness like Jesus did. Never. And that's something to be happy about. That's something to just a glorious day. That is probably the greatest miracle in all of history right there, that Jesus came back. And we never ever have to feel the separation again. We would never lose it. Because that's the key. The key is connection. And we live our lives connected with each other and believing in Jesus Christ and being part of a family. But having our Lord and our Savior right there, someday we can go into heaven and we can spend time with him, doing whatever. I don't know what I'm going to do. Can't wait to see. But it's going to be a good time. So my question is, do you believe that there's actually someone out there who paid the price for your sins? Do you truly believe in your heart that it was the greatest miracle that could ever happen? Someone that truly did not want you to be separated from the Heavenly Father. Do you believe in that person? Do you recognize that? Do you feel the love of your Lord Jesus Christ right now as you sit here? And you think about Easter Even after we get done here, we're going to go off to our families and we're going to have time with our families and we're going to feel their love and we're going to have food together and we're going to spend time in relationships with them. Don't forget about your relationship with Jesus while you're doing it. That's the greatest relationship you can ever have. And feeling His love and knowing that He was determined to do something for us that we could not do for ourselves. And being a part of that in our life and truly loving that. So again, my question is, do you feel the love of Jesus right now as you sit here and recognizing His part in your life? I hope so. And if you do, does your heart yearn out to Him in thankfulness, saying, thank you, Jesus? I don't think that we can truthfully express thank you enough with our verbal speech that we can do with our heart. He knows our heart. He knows how thankful we are. And that's where He reads our thanks from. It's from our heart, from inside of us. Of how truly much that we love our Lord Jesus. And to show that thankfulness to Him and being a part of that, we're going to take communion together. We're going to take communion because it's the fact of just connecting with our Lord and Savior in the time that He put together with His disciples. Yes, the ones that ran away from Him, the ones that left Him alone, but He came back and made things all right with them. He forgave them. But we're going to spend time in communion of recognizing the connection that we have with our Lord and Savior and committing our lives to Him to say, I know that You are part of my life. I know that You are truly special. So as we come together for communion, we have a few things that we ask you to do. First and foremost, we ask you to wait to take until everybody's been served so we can take together as His church, as His family. Also, we have open communion here, which means that anybody can take communion here. All we ask is that you are a believer in our Lord Jesus. That you truly know who He is and you've given your life to Him and you recognize the significance of what communion actually is and how it's supposed to be taken, because that's truthfully something that you must approach correctly. And if there's something that is, well, if it's interfering with your connection with Jesus right now, just confess it. Just give it to Him, saying, I give this to you, Lord, because I want nothing between you and me. Ever. So as we get ready to do that, if you have kids, I think most of them are downstairs, but if you have children here, parents, we leave it up to you whether they take communion or not. You know whether they believe in Jesus. You know whether they have a connection. You know whether they truly understand what is going on. So if they do, then they're welcome to join. But parents, that's up to you. So I would have you stand, please. As we get ready, I'm going to ask Jessica and Mike to come up here and help me serve. What we're going to do is we're just going to come through the middle and we're going to go around to the outsides, back to your seating position. And as soon as everybody's been served, we'll take together. Thank you. After Jesus had given thanks in the upper room, he took the bread and he broke it. He passed it out to his disciples. He said, "Take and eat this, for this is my body, which has been broken for you." Let's take and eat the bread together. On the meal, as they were going through, he took a cup, raised it up, giving thanks, and he said, "This is my body, which has been poured out so that you might live new in your life, fresh in your life, that your sins would be wiped clean." I can only imagine what the disciples were thinking at that time. Of a price that we could not pay, Lord. And as we take communion together, I pray that we would truly never, ever, ever take for granted the connection that you have with us. We lift our cups up, Lord, and we thank you for the washing clean of us by his blood, that we would be white as snow, that we have found your grace. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's take the blood. As we went through this message, yeah, there's some sad points in it, but there's more glory in it than sad points. There's more happiness in it than sad points, because it was 3 days of sadness. 3 days, right? Lifetime for him, 3 days for us. But the happiness is a lifetime for us. The lifetime for us of happiness. So that's about this message. It's about happiness. It's about glory. It's about joy. That's what it's about. But if you are one of those people that don't have a connection with our Lord Jesus, now's the time to find that. Now's the time to truly give your lives to Jesus, so you would have that glory, you would have the happiness, you would have the peace, you would have the joy, you would have the contentment. You would have all those things. And if you have a relationship with your Lord and you want more, now's the time. Reach out for that connection. Build it up, because God would love nothing more than to have a stronger connection with you each and every day. So let's raise up our voices. Let's worship him in song as we go about after this service, enjoying each other's company, but enjoying the connection with our Heavenly Father, Jesus.